Oh, yeah. What up, ladies? What up, boys? Anyway, before we get to this awesome episode of the podcast, I got to read you some of our great sponsors that make this possible. Now, coming up on this podcast is Dom Bagnotto, who is part of our sponsorship, and he is the director of and writer of A Convenient Truth. So it's independent film, mockumentary-style film, great film. So if you go to contruthmovie.com and enter the promo code Shenanigans, you get the deluxe package for $6.49. Some of you spend more on your lattes and your little, macchiatos. Just $6.49. Drink Folgers for one day, okay? Contruth Movie. But this episode, we did a podcast from his apartment. For more importantly than him is his soon-to-be wife, his fiance Kim Boyko, okay? And she does a couple songs for us from her upcoming EP called Somebody Else. So type that into iTunes and whatnot. So that is Kim Boyko, and the album is Somebody Else. And I think after this podcast, you guys will enjoy her songs. Now, big news on the podcast, okay? We are very happy to bring in another sponsor, okay? If you guys listen to me over the years, you know how much I love craft beer and are excited to work with our second New Jersey brewery, keeping it local, Manskirt Brewing. That's right, Manskirt. That's right, Manskirt. Okay, Manskirt Brewing, bringing the highest quality craft beer to the Hackettstown area. Now, I've been there. It's fantastic. Okay, it's a cool little place, up and coming. Visit them at their historic bank building we call home, where you can check out the vault and enjoy one of the delicious beers handcrafted by brewmaster Joe Fisher. Manskirt emphasizes classic beer styles that buck current trends while rotating seasonals, keeping things fresh and fun. Now, Manskirt is a pretty cool brewery, up and coming, and you can see Joe in his kilt, okay, which is where the name Manskirt comes from, okay? We'll be very excited to work with them and talk to them in the future. So could not be happier to bring them on. So, again, Manskirt Brewing. Now, a couple of things going on with them. Okay, they got beer, barbecue, bacon showdown in Morristown on May 21st. Go to njbeerbarbecuefest.com. They're brewing a Roush beer. Let there be Roush for the occasion. And they're doing a collaboration Hefeweizen with Two Ton Brewing next week called Pleated Wheat. So that is a good beer. So, again, go check out Manskirt Brew. Check them out on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and could not be happier to work with them. Okay, bringing us to Demented Brewing Company, another fantastic craft beer company coming out of Jersey. Okay, Demented Brewery, okay, is based out of Middlesex, New Jersey. They just celebrated a year open. Awesome guys, and if you hear next week's podcast, you'll hear that they're going to be there. They make a variety of seasonally inspired flavorful ales, okay, insanely flavorful ales. Visit their 16-tap tasting room, okay, check out their barrel program, and get details on their mug club, okay. Their anniversary party is Sunday, May 1st at Ferrara's Pizzeria and Pub from 1 to 5 p.m. There will be live music from 1 to 3:30, buffet. And they got their first batch of Double Dementia. They got a brand new head brewer, so they're going to be revealing that. Okay, so definitely go down there and get some for more updates and just maybe get some swag from them. Go to DementedBrewing.com for details. DementedBrewing.com. It is an awesome place. Trust me, we have been there several times. Okay, bringing us to Trivia Revolution. This podcast is brought to you by Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. You see a theme here, people. Okay, they bring the best of trivia and craft beer together. They support local breweries, okay, like Manskirt, like Demented, like River Horse and Ramstein and Cricket Hill, just to name a few. Not only can you win great prizes from our game locations, every show that you get an award from the brewery. So you can come in last place and still get a gift card or something to a brewery, a flight, okay? Also, there are bonus items, okay? If you are a New Jersey craft beer member, you get points, a bonus item on their Twitter or Instagram, okay? TriviaRevolution.com, okay? Check out where they are. If you're near me, I host every Tuesday in Clark at Paragon Tap and Table, okay? Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. And where would we be without our longest sponsor, and that is Wolf Nation, okay? Up-and-coming clothing company, WULF Nation, okay? Wake up, live free, okay? Basically, Richie tells us, you know, it's all about breaking that mold, doing something that you want to do, not working for the corporate man, okay, wolfing it, okay, you know, getting out there, getting the name out there, visit them on Instagram, okay, check them out on Facebook. A lot of different designs coming for women, children, gym wear, pets, all that stuff, okay? So that is Wolf Nation. Wake up, live free. So with that being said, guys, I want you to enjoy this episode of the podcast. Listen all the way through and then see why I accidentally fell on the ground at the end. So here's Dom Bagnato and Kim Boyko. Bye-bye.
Hey, this is Michelangelo, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle here, to let you know that you're listening to Verbal Shenanigans. Oh, that's like because they're shenanigan-y and they're verbal.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
It's just getting weird now.
Just now?
No, it's getting weird. Hello, and welcome to the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. We are in an exotic location today.
Soundline office.
Location, and, you know, we've done a lot of live things. Big beer fest, wrestling.
NASCAR.
NASCAR, food challenges. Now we're in an apartment in Rahway.
Yeah.
We've made it.
But it's the big time, man.
We got a little panel going on today, kind of, sort of. But it's kind of like, I don't know, like when there's like a lice scare. And like Dom's here, you know. It's like, and he's here.
The way I look at it, this is probably like, you know how guys in their 50s go to like Yankees baseball camp to play with like their heroes. This is probably the equivalent to him. Oh my God! There's Scott Brennan over there.
There he
honey,
is. He's the redheaded one.
Honey, remember that joke in episode 29? Oh my God, I'm going to ask him about it.
He really let himself go. He's,
yeah, his best years are behind him since the heroin.
Yeah. But Dom, welcome to the show. It's the first time you've said in live. You've been on a few episodes.
Thank you. I think the players at Fantasy Baseball Camp maybe make a point to not make fun of the people attending the Fantasy Baseball Camp.
What?
I would probably make fun of a couple.
The analogy
of like, if Daryl Strawberry was in the outfield, I'd probably do some, like, chants at
him. Listen, you're going to learn very early on, whenever Burlow just goes, you just kind of think about what is the next topic and how do we get there, okay?
I have no idea what's going on.
I have a three-hour thing about onions.
I got a three-hour bit about onions. You guys want to hear it? There's red ones, medallions,
those special green ones, those scallions. Now, I'm not a big fan of scallions, and let me tell you why.
But let's get to the real reason we're here. Kim Boyko, welcome aboard.
Oh, hi there. Thank you.
I've known Kim Boyko for a long time now, almost as long as Dom. Well, not as long as Dom, because you... How many years younger are you than Dom?
Three.
Are you that much younger?
Yeah, something like that.
Ugh. Cradle rocker there, Dommy. What the hell?
Cradle rocker? Robber.
Yeah,
robber.
He rocks that cradle.
Yeah. Oh, that too.
Yeah, you are like a cradle rocker. You're like the kind of guy that goes and just stares at the victim.
The baby likes it when I shake him. He gets quiet.
He was just saying I was a baby murderer. Yeah. It's completely unrelated to him.
Well,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Guess I shouldn't marry him. Yeah. Oh, boy.
But so let's for the audience here, Dom is an old high school friend of mine. Played soccer. We've talked about his film a bunch of times. If you listen to it before this, you hear his sponsorship. Mike Burlow finally saw your film.
Yeah, I liked it very much.
So now we just got to get Chris Wan to listen to our friend Chris is like, oh yeah. The other day
he has actually seen it. Now.
He's watching it.
He has watched it.
The other day he was bullshitting so bad.
Oh yeah.
He's like, couldn't say anything about
part?
The film.
When the guy entered the room and he said that stuff, that was amazing. It took me back.
I like the scene with the guy and the dog.
I like the message about whales in your film. You know, it was hidden in there, but I saw it.
But so Dom is engaged to Kim. And now, Kim, you guys have been together for how many years now?
Like 11 now?
11? How the hell have you avoided getting married over an 11-year period is the real question.
Yeah, I stay in the bedroom a lot, you know. She watches TV.
Yeah.
Now one day she saw a commercial for Rings, and I was screwed.
Now that Convenient Truth on DVD and done with, it's like, oh, all right.
That is actually related, actually, because I used the film premiere to propose to her.
You did. Ooh. You did. I was going to get to that. I was going to get to that.
You asked the question.
You cut us off in the point. Now we have like 3 minutes left.
It's but nice to see somebody else screw up other than me right now.
But Kim, welcome to the show. It's not about Dom, but we'll make it about Dom. But we'll, you know, it's about you. So you happen to, I guess you've been into music for as long as I've known you, but I'm sure it goes back well before that.
Oh,
so
yeah.
First off, let's get right to the point. We'll work our way back. You have an album coming out. I guess it'll be a couple days before this airs, about a week before it airs. So tell us how your album goes a week ago.
Well, it's going fantastically. No, I hope that's a result.
Were you shocked that Beyonce showed up?
Yeah, it was fantastic, and Jay-Z behind her. It was great.
I love that collab you did with Ice Cube. It's awesome.
Oh, man.
It's awesome.
Yeah. But, so far, I mean, I've actually even sold, like, 8 CDs before it's technically out yet. So that's cool. So that's always good.
Pre-order.
That's good, because that's, like, about how many listens this is going to get. So,
yeah.
And
that's
you're sitting next to one, two, three. So there's 5
awesome.
Potential listens out there.
And the rest will be people who have already bought the CD anyway, so it won't matter. That's
right.
Awesome.
Right. So this is completely useless.
Mom, buy another CD. Listen to the podcast.
But sorry, we tend to interrupt a lot, so get used to it.
What?
What shenanigans? Sorry.
Oh, God. Did you just do a spit take on that?
No, I just spit coffee.
All over the pop filter. Right.
That's why we have a pop filter. It prevents Dunkin' Donuts from entering the microphone. But anyway, Kim. Back to Kim. So you I know I've even read a little bio on you just to get a little... I've known you for a while. But you it says you started playing music around 3.
Oh, yeah. Well, not playing. I mean, you know, I didn't have a guitar in my hands at 3. But no, I was an avid songwriter at the age of 3. It was... Would you like to hear my first song?
Yes.
Sure.
Is this on the album?
No, I did not record this one.
So, you guys are getting an exclusive. right now, if you guys go to Verbal Shenanigans, we'll isolate the audio and you could have a unrecorded single from Kim Boyko. This is
only $6.99 each.
It's like 2 lines. It's not a single. It's like a fragment of a song that I wrote when I was 3.
So if you go to contruthmovie.com, enter the promo code Shenanigans and Boyko, you will get not only the DVD, the podcast, and this single.
Yeah, no, it's terrible though. I mean, I think
don't
I was
sell
like,
yourself short.
No, but you'll understand.
Okay.
So it's basically just I was sitting somewhere and this song popped into my head and I started singing. I'm looking at you. You're looking at me. We're looking at each other. I think I was channeling Dylan. You know?
Yeah, you got a little Dylan.
Yeah, I was thinking
so,
that.
I'm looking at you. You're looking at me. We're looking at each other.
So, yeah, my parents got that on cassette tape back in the day. And I think I made them burn it. I think there's no recording of that. But I was pretty embarrassed, yeah.
But, you know,
in my later years, I was
27 years later or so, it's recorded again right now, just now.
That should be the hidden track.
That could be the new intro to the podcast. That song's been played.
I should re-record
the
entire
reinvent yourself every once in a while.
It's really scary to think of Burlo looking at me, though.
In general? Or just
looking at you.
Looking at me, saying,
you're looking at me.
Think of nightmares.
We're looking at each other.
Oh, my God, it's a hit already. This is like being, you know.
That was a remix. I'm looking at me.
That's the mirror version.
So,
sir, I honestly was just singing a song there. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to do it so near to the park.
You pulled over for a second, non-DUI. What are you singing, sir? So I know you come from a music family. Your brother's a musician, and was your father a musician too? I think
my father played guitar. He, you know, he is singing. He has his own little like music night at a coffee house, Mara's Cafe in Fanwood, New Jersey, and he calls it Decaf Duets. It's pretty cute.
Cute.
So it is. It's very cute. I think I inspired him, you know, to go out there and start singing and stuff.
So what were the early steps? Like, did you start playing in just singing? Like, when was it instruments first or singing first?
Well, I mean, singing first, definitely, because I was singing since I was, like, you know, born. But then when I was younger, during high school, my dad tried to get me to play guitar, and I am not a very motivated person. So I think I played it for like.
So you married Dom.
Not yet.
Not even yet. Yeah.
Yeah. Hence the 11 years and counting.
Babe, can you come down the aisle? All the way down there.
I'm gonna finish this episode of Futurama.
Exactly. I do from back exactly. here.
But yeah, so I pretty much played for like 6 months, enough time to do the talent show at high school,
oh God,
which was one of the first times that he saw me sing and stuff and fell in love with me, obviously. But no, not at all, no. But
he fell in love with me. I was in that talent show, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
I have video of that.
No, you don't. Which, what, was that Not Quite Banana or was that Linus?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I remember Linus.
Well, we could play some of that. I don't have it on me, but... I don't even know where my CD is. I know I have the tracks somewhere on one of my computers, but I know Taryn's probably got them all.
I'll show you the talent show clip before you leave.
We don't have to. the lack of talent show. But I actually remember you singing that. Did you sing? Hold on. Was it like that swing song? Was that it?
Close. Sway.
Sway. Sway, swing,
yeah,
swung.
Very close.
I always had trouble with that in English
SW.
Class, too.
That was good, yeah.
Swing. Okay, so Dom sees you at the talent show, and it was just love.
No, probably not. No, not at all. But literally, it was like, okay, cool. I'm gonna play guitar now. Yeah, look at me. I'm playing guitar. I learned one song and was like, oh, this hurts my fingers, and I'm really lazy. So, yeah. So then I pretty much stopped playing guitar for I don't know how many years would that be.
In high school you stopped
10
playing?
10 years. Oh, I don't know. I actually don't remember chronologically, but I know that at some point I stopped because I was too lazy, and yeah. So, then I picked it back up like 2 years ago. So
now, do you have any like formal training in singing, or is it just kind of just an ear?
Not really. I mean, I took singing lessons for a couple of weeks when I was younger because someone suggested this person, but he talked about himself the entire time, and I think I sung like
Michael
two
Burler.
Lines. No, it wasn't. But so it was kind of like when I was in Mana La Mancha.
Let me just tell you a little bit about myself.
Exactly.
I'm looking at you. And you're looking at me, and we're looking at each other.
And that was when my mom fired him.
It doesn't get any less creepy. Every situation you put it in, it sounds really, really
I'm kind
terrible.
Of digging it.
I think he's going for that, yeah.
Okay, so obviously in the last few years, you've been very active with the whole music thing. I know there's a pretty big YouTube presence. You're putting out like a song a week?
Somewhere? Oh, no, I used to do a song a week and then school started
Slacker.
Again. So, you know, but because I teach, it's, you know, I don't have
who
a lot
does
of time.
That?
I know. And now with the EP and everything, I've been doing recordings and stuff. So like once a month I try for.
And go ahead.
I was going to say about how long does it take you to like think up a song and then prepare
That's
for
honestly
it?
The toughest part because, you know, I'll have a song that I really want to do and I can't figure out how to play it on guitar or, you know, I just can't think of a song like, you try really hard and then nothing comes up. Because I've done like 90 songs at this point, I think. So after the 90th song, how do you think of the 91st?
And they're all covers, right? The ones on YouTube?
Most of them are covers. Most There's a couple originals on there, yeah.
Now, I know one of your videos had a pretty large success rate, I guess you can call it. It was the... True Detective. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the True Detective theme song.
Yeah.
Okay, and you got last I checked, it was like over 250,000 views on it, something
I think
like
it's
that.
Like, is it up to? Yeah, definitely quarter.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't know, 261,392. Who knows?
Yeah, that was like the first one that was like, oh, so people are actually watching my videos. Cool, you know. So yeah, that was kind of crazy.
Is it tough in the relationship when your video got 249,800 more views than A Convenient Truth?
No. Yeah, it is, actually.
Who else
yeah.
saw that movie? Wait a minute.
There's got to be 19 others somewhere.
Well, ask her why she's making YouTube videos.
That's true. Actually, it's all because of him.
He's a great director.
No.
All right, stand
Nothing
in front of the
that.
Camera, sing.
No, it was because I used to do musical theater, and that was pretty much my only outlet for singing. And then I got him a camera with my first paycheck. Oh, how romantic.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
And then what followed was that he got me a
we
microphone.
We skipped the rent that month, but you are a disaster. You are just a disaster.
I'm not used to being on location like this. This is weird.
So see, when you hear me like yelling on the podcast... And just like, what the hell are you doing? What is that face? This is live. This is it. This is
behind the scenes.
My favorite story of him is we're interviewing. Who are we interviewing? One of our biggest interviews, and you popped the beer open. Was that Marcelo Balboa?
No, that was Paul Templer.
Oh, Paul Templer, this guy who got attacked by a hippo. We tried to track him down for a long time. Berla's sitting by the microphone. He cracks a beer, like, not over here, like, sideways, like, and it starts shooting out.
Oh,
like,
my God.
And he's sitting there, like, there's, like, foam dripping down his hand. Like, I'm like, can you just move or go out of the room? And he's like, shh, like, looking at me, like, what do I do? And, like, beer's falling all over the place.
Yeah, like, three quarters of that beer came out. I was so intrigued, I couldn't move, man. Then I found out the guy got attacked by a hippo. Didn't realize it.
Yeah. But yeah, so this is what goes on every single podcast. But
I'm the co-host. I'm so adorable.
So, well, I don't even know where the hell we were. The YouTube video.
Right. No, I was just saying how I wasn't going to do a YouTube channel because I thought, like, no one wants to hear me sing. This is stupid. And Dom got me a microphone and he was like, okay, now you have to. But it still took me a good couple months before I had the guts to. And I still had to relearn how to play guitar because it had been so long. So
I had to guilt her into it.
He did.
I was like,
you
know, I got you that microphone.
It's like, I paid money for that microphone.
And you still haven't used it.
So how long did it take you to get, like, comfortable in front of a mic? Or was it, like, the first couple tries? Was it right at the bat?
Well, that depends on what you consider comfortable. Because even though it's just a camera, I'll still do, like, sometimes 10 takes for one song because I'm, like, screwing up and, like, oh, I keep screwing. Yeah, you know, not fun. But, I mean, it's not like I'm super uncomfortable singing. It's really just a matter of, oh, God, I have to remember what chords they are and remember lyrics, and then I screw myself up. So
that whole playing music thing, I think that's,
right?
That's every
know.
Part of
what
it.
What is that, yeah.
But so you do see some success in the views and whatnot. Do you...
Yeah.
What, anything happened from that? Like, people say, hey, like, or did just you just a whole bunch more viewers? Like,
actually, I did have I had a couple people reach out to me, like, asking if I would sing on their channel, kind of thing. And yeah, I did a couple songs with someone, but
oh, wow, with someone,
yeah,
love that guy.
The someone,
I don't remember his name, it was a very foreign name. I'm sorry, I can't think of it, but no, but then he, like, lost one of the files that we did, so I stopped working with him. But anyway, yeah, so stuff like that. And, you know, messages and really interesting comments. That's, you know, like,
yeah,
the weird...
that's half the game, right? It's just the comments. And... give me a weird comment you've gotten.
Oh, well, I've gotten a ton of marriage proposals, which are always interesting.
Well,
is that
what's
special?
I know.
Thing. He's
I
like,
know,
all
right?
Right, I guess I got to give her a ring. Now I got competition. Ugh.
No.
I don't want to move around this place. That'd be too much work.
Dumb. We'll get to you in a minute.
No, but surprisingly, most of them are really supportive. Because, you know, you always expect the internet to be this really crazy, dangerous place with lurking creepers all the time. But for the most part, I get a lot of positive feedback, which is pretty remarkable.
That's usually
to me.
How they start.
Yeah, right. No, you're right, right. Once I get expanded, right.
Well, you did get that weird, like, a few months into when you started that crocodile song.
Oh, yes! Oh, wow, this is really weird. So there was this quote-unquote woman who sent me a message through YouTube saying, like, oh, my two daughters are in love with this one song, Never Smile at a Crocodile, from Peter Pan or something like that. And she's like, could you possibly record it for them? And I was like, of course. You know, like, I was doing dedications pretty often. So I do a little research. Well, first, I recorded the song, and I loved how it came out, so I was totally fine with it. I do a little research, and I notice that while searching for Never Smile at a Crocodile, there are all of these young girls doing a cover and dedicating it to the same two girls. And she just, you know, and she was saying,
so
like, oh, I,
like,
you know.
Like, a lot of people that do it?
I don't know. Or if it was just some creepy old guy who has, like, a crocodile fetish. I don't know. But, I mean, but then, because then the person asked, like, okay, I didn't get to do a video of them reacting to seeing you do the song. So could you do it again, but this time kind of, like, bouncing around?
Whoa. Wow.
That's a little weird.
And
you
I was
know
like,
what? That's subtle.
No, thanks. Yeah, seriously. So I, like, reached out to some of the people who had, like, sung the song as well.
You know,
and
my kids
like,
would like it if you weren't wearing a bra at the time. I'm just throwing it out there. My little 5-year-old girl, she's like, Mommy, why is she wearing a bra?
You check the email. It said secondmike@verbalshenanigans.com. Who is it?
The co-host.
Sing the song.
The co-host. He asserted it so confidently. So.
But yeah, that was a weird one.
I'm the co-host. So, the album. Okay, well, so obviously you start playing out. I know you play with a band. I see you play with the a couple different people. You got all different things going on.
I have an acoustic duo. I have a cover band, and I do my own solo stuff.
Okay, so why don't we focus on the album? Because that's kind of what we're here for, I guess. actually, we're here for the free pizza, but Don did say it was free yet. So
I don't know.
So the album. I'm staring at the album behind you, and there's one over there, and the artwork. I know you put a video up the other day. You getting the album?
Yeah,
I saw that.
Yeah.
So how long did it take you to record?
It only took a couple days, but I mean, we did very acoustic, very stripped down, just a voice and a guitar. But we did the recordings live, which took a little bit more time because you're not, you know, plugging something in and then just playing with it afterwards. So it was like each take had to be perfect and then you move on. But yeah, I think it took like 3 days to do the recordings. And
how many songs are we looking at?
So on the EP, it's five songs just because it's a little, you know, demo, debut kind of thing. But we've recorded extra, so I do have some other songs that are just waiting.
I'm looking at you.
That last one.
You're looking at me.
It gets so sinister. Like, what is going on?
I'm so scared.
I see a character on stage here, Scott. I also see the audience running away.
Well, I mean, I guess this is a good point to maybe, why don't we hear one of the songs? Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a good stopping point here.
Sure.
So, yeah, I mean, if you want to get set up, and we'll shoot the shit in the meantime, and then you tell us what we got, and then we'll talk more about the recording of the album.
Sure.
But, so Dom, I like Dom. Dom has this look of just dread, dread on his face. Like, dear God, like,
babe,
why did I let
back
these guys in my house? Why do I listen to this shitty podcast weekly? So how are those downloads? The promo code Shenanigans.
have not gotten one person.
Stop it.
That code.
That's because you sent it to free to our two fans, Berlu and Juan.
That is a problem. I'm not a good promoter, so I just send free copies to lots of people.
Are there any updates on the film, or is it just now time to move on?
I mean, it's the film is available on ConTruthMovie.com, and that is where it'll live. I mean, what the updates would be me hustling to promote it with lots of different ways, but I'm more of a writer director than a producer, so I've failed at doing that. I'm much more interested in just moving on to the next project. So
you find it hard, like, because you really, I guess, you have a decade vested basically into A Convenient Truth, right?
I mean, I mean, it's closer to 5 years, somewhere in between 5 and 10 years.
From concept to finish.
From concept.
That's what I mean, like,
yeah,
from
the
start.
Probably a decade from concept. Yeah, from when I had the idea and then wrote the screenplay.
So in a way, that's got to be actually refreshing to move on, I would think, in a way.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I've been, as a direct reaction to that, I've been like reaching out to people and doing lots of really short stuff. Like, I went down to DC and shot some sketches with a sketch comedy group, and like two of them are literally 1 minute long sketches, mm-hmm. and the other one's a little bit longer, but it's still going to be maybe like 4 or 5 minutes. And it's just really refreshing to be able to go out there, shoot some stuff, edit it, and have it ready to go and show it to people instead of writing something and then showing it to people.
Yeah, and I know we even talked on the way home the other day from our grown old man soccer game, and I scored a goal. That's correct. And I was scored a goal. Left-footed, by the way, also, if you didn't notice that.
Yeah, real soccer players use both their feet.
Well,
learn one day.
First off. Don't ever call me a real soccer player.
I didn't. I called you not a real
player. Those who can't,
I got
play
by.
Coach, remember
I got
that.
By and defended, and then if I couldn't defend, I would just hammer people.
Yeah.
That was kind of my job.
Yeah.
But we played old man soccer, and I scored and got an assist quick, and that was before my first. I need to get the hell off because I'm out of breath. But what I was going to say, we talked on the way home from that, and you were talking about a bunch of new projects going on and how you're writing, and I even look at your creepy board over there that is half script development and half children's addresses. But what is that? The whole color-coded thing, you got to explain that. Like, is it character cards?
It's a pretty standard. I mean, it's just index cards on a board to map out. Basically just doing an outline, but with the index cards, you can move stuff around much more easily. And then in that case, there's a father and his two sons, and so I use one color basically card for each of them, just because it'd be easier for me to say, hey, I haven't done anything with the youngest son in a long time, there should be a yellow card here, you know.
It is nice to see like the visual, someone still doing that like visually. Sometimes you
and
forget.
It's so colorful and pretty.
It's really, really, no, really
that, if there's two words that describe Dom Bagnato, it's colorful and pretty.
Yes.
No, but it is really helpful to be able to have a snapshot. Like, to be able to see the entire overview all at once. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's good to have it big and on the wall. Like, you could do the same thing in an outline on a document, but even just having to scroll up and down within it is not really the same thing.
And what is that project over there? Is it going to be like another comedy? Is it going to be drama?
That one is a dark comedy. Okay. Sort of in the vein of, I don't know. I guess I was going to say American Beauty, but I guess that's a drama. So it's that, but hopefully funnier.
Yeah.
And then, it's a feature script, so that's why it's a longer term. Yeah.
Last question before we get to back to Kim. Do you find it, like, one of your strategies has to be, or one of your thoughts has to be going about getting this next thing out and how you would do things differently? Or mm-hmm. I know you spent a ton of money getting things in theaters. Like, what did you find was either, I'm sure nothing was a complete waste, but how, like, what do you think you do completely differently? Like, when, if you're going to go for this feature, which obviously is a goal, what things you do? I'm sure there's a bunch.
It's a good question. I mean, for this one specifically, I'm writing it, and I have a bunch of scripts written. So I think the first thing I would do is separate, which is just write stuff for somebody else to make. For the next film that I make, I definitely won't make it without 100% of the money in hand before we shoot anything. Which I think when you make your first film, you have to go out and prove that you can do it, and you have to do it piecemeal all the time. And I think you do that once. I don't think you do that the second time. But the other thing, which actually a filmmaker, Keith Miller, told me recently, and I really, it's kind of sad, but I think it's 100% true. And he's made some films that have been at, you know, Tribeca, like big films. And he said, I always tell filmmakers now, when you're going to make a movie, whatever the budget is, take half, don't spend that, and you need that amount of money to promote it afterward. Because I mean, you could be in the situation I'm in now where you spend all the money, it's available online, and nobody knows about it, and that's not a good spot to be in.
I mean, so, we are in this crazy time where it's awesome that people can make things. It's such a, you know, it's so accessible, but it's also like, holy crap, how do people make legit money off of something like that?
It's
now
great availability, but the market's so flooded, it's kind of hard to get past right that. Yeah, I'm not just everybody else. Look at this.
Like, I think of you doing a movie, and I get anxiety thinking about how the hell is he going to get that put out? But I guess right it happens, you know? Like, it's just have different avenues. It's always changing, which is...
But it used to be that, you know, media availability was the issue. Now it's media discoverability, right? So everything is available to everyone, which is great, and I do think that's more good than bad, but the issue then is with, I mean, everybody's had that thing where you sit on Netflix and you waste 2 hours looking for which one you want to watch and you don't watch anything. And it's like that times 1,000 when you think of all the stuff that's out there. Mm. So,
all right. Over to Kim. Okay. Kim, what are we going to hear here? We're going to hear a song off the album. We're going to hear a cover.
Yeah, I think we'll start with the track number one on the album. Just kind of like the main inspiration, my main track. It's called Nobody.
Chains or locks, but all I need to feel confined is the darkness of my mind and the ticking of the clock. Three words are all that I can hear, because I'm screaming them so loud, but they never make a sound, they just linger in my ears. To be, 'cause right now I'm a nobody. Right now I'm a nobody. Will someone tell me what I'm supposed to do when I'm tired of being me in this darker shade of blue? They don't like what they see, so they shut themselves real tight, never letting any light, too afraid to be open and free. One girl, just look how much she's grown, but I bet you'd never guess that even at her best, in a crowd full of people, she's still all alone. All tired of being me. In this darker shade of blue, I don't want your sympathy. Just ignore me while I scream. Will someone tell me who I'm supposed to be? Cause right now I'm a nobody. Right now I'm a nobody. Will someone tell me what am I to do when I'm tired of being me? In this darker shade of blue.
That was awesome.
Very nice. Very nice.
Thank you.
I'm glad you named the song after Burlew.
Darker Side of Burlew.
No, nobody. Yes, let me just get my levels back here.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Any wise words about that song? You like to keep it guarded. Some people don't like.
I think it's cool. I mean, in general, I take a lot of inspiration from other people. So, you know, I like finding myself in other people's stories, which is why the album is called Somebody Else. But so since I'm an eighth grade teacher, I am constantly surrounded by lots of emotions, lots of, you know, drama. But a lot of times it's very genuine. It's very heartfelt. And the kids honestly just don't know, you know, how they're supposed to feel. And they don't fit in. They get picked on and whatever. And the thing is, even as adults, like, we all, you know, go through shit like that. So.
I mean, when you make different songs with, like, different emotions, is it harder to, if like you're in your good mood, I can't really play that bluish song, you know what I mean?
Not really. If anything, I think the happy songs are the hardest to write. Mm-hmm. So that would be the only time that,
especially when you're a teenager and in young college, all our songs are like, blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah. Nobody understands me.
Exactly, yeah.
But yeah, it's very nice. You have any, like, I don't know, this is always, like, a hard question for any musician. You have any, like, main influences musically?
Well, I mean,
I see a Costello book over there.
Well, that's the, yeah, no,
I hear a little bit in those opening chords. I hear a little bit of, like, choppy chord progression kind of thing.
I have my favorite artists, but really, I just listen to everything. Right. But, yeah, no, Costello, Stevie Wonder, like, those are my two all-time favorite. Like, if I could meet/sing with anyone, it'd be both of them simultaneously. No, but either of them, obviously. But I just listen to everything.
I think really that's kind of the way it is. Like, I always hated that, like, in all the bands I was in growing up, like, when they were like, oh, like, what are you guys sound like? It's like, oh.
No,
as soon as I put, like, this amazing band that everyone loves, I sound like this. It's like, oh, do you? Like, no, you don't. Like,
Soundgarden guy.
You know, it's like, it's so different between, I don't know. It's always a hard question. It's just like, now doing, like, the comedy, it's like, oh, like, who are you in for? I don't know. I hate, like, talking about myself.
Well, no, but it's true because, I mean, I had an opportunity to record in Nashville for a lot more money than what I paid here. But this guy, I mean, John Eddy is a good friend of mine. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He actually has an album called Who the Hell is John Eddy? But he pretty much made it big in the 80s, was signed to a label, and then everything kind of fell apart. But now he's back and writing and fantastic and still does all of his crazy performances. And he was like, you got to come out to Nashville. Like, you can use this studio. Just, you know, he's like, you're going to hate this, but tell me who you want this song to sound like. Because, but that's, you know, he's like, because I'll set up a band and do whatever, because that's what you need to do sometimes in the quote-unquote industry. But, yeah, no, I don't know. I just write stuff and hope that it doesn't suck.
I think that's the only way you got to start is, like, I hope this doesn't. You gotta love it yourself. Otherwise,
right, yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like,
I'm just wondering if you could have said, like, any band and they would have had to, like, mash it up. You know?
Well, that's the thing.
Like,
the
Nitty Gritty, you know? Dirt Band. That's what I want to sound like.
I'm going for a real,
make,
like,
it happen.
Taylor Swift meets Slipknot kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Squirrel Nut Zippers, perhaps.
Yeah. Oh,
my God.
That name will forever.
That's my major influence, yeah. You can hear it in the
In the afterlife.
Was that them? Scroll this.
Yeah.
Riot? Was that
they
did
them? Hell.
They held the pain.
I went back a bottle of beer.
I don't think that was them, but
I don't know the Hell song
that.
Was there.
Yeah, I know Hell was there. Yeah.
I apologize that we're keeping Dom awake. He looks like he's going to pass out.
That's just his face.
This should be my dream come true, and I'm hating this.
But changing subjects a little bit. Well, actually, before that, what is your goal for the album? Obviously, just to get it out there, or is there something you're leading towards? Or
I think that's pretty much the hardest question, honestly, yep. Because a big part of me doesn't want to give up the life that I have. I really do love teaching. I mean, I don't like all of the bureaucratic crap that comes along with it.
And you don't say.
The SGOs, all that, whatever. But we just did our park testing. Oh, wasn't that fun?
Us too.
But aside from all that, I love the kids so much that I think it's difficult for me to imagine a life where I'm not teaching. But I guess that's my ultimate goal is, to have music be my career.
Listen, you can always come back to teaching.
Right, that's true.
Always come back.
It's true.
Or you can bring the kids with you, like the magic school bus.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
That's never been done. Like,
no.
Teacher with students. Like,
I'm looking at you.
No, that's how I lost my teaching job.
They're looking at me. We're looking at each other.
Bruce saying you could bring the kids with you is devastating.
Scott, I'm noticing I'm getting creepier by the moment. Yeah. Do you notice that too?
Yeah. He's got his leg up.
I got a little captain in me.
It's just everything.
Looking at you. Looking at me.
Body language is very open.
Oh my God.
We're looking at each other.
I had Burla watch my dog this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And today he sounded disappointed. He's like, oh, Obi, when you were with me, you were so out of it. Yeah. And so I think you used the word laissez-faire.
Well, I'm a little French.
Were you disappointed? What did you think you guys were going to do?
Well, number one, you called me as I was taking him to the dog park. Right off the bat,
talk about the night you guys had together.
No, he was just like really like, I mean, you see, when I come over your place, he won't give me like 2 feet. Like,
now, this, like usually during a podcast, there's like a dog under the microphone and knocking the chairs
and
down.
And he's adorable, but at times like I'm trying to get into the conversation and he's just like...
Pumping your leg?
Yeah, pretty much, backing that butt up of his up to my leg. And then, like, he dropped Obi off at my place on, was it Friday night?
It was Saturday night.
Saturday night.
Saturday.
And just, like, Obi just kind of looked around, like, this ain't my place. I'm going to be over there,
Aww.
It was less exciting.
Now, there's a short. Like, Burlu, like, trying to get the dog to, like, pay attention to him and, like...
Obi, I'm looking at you.
This picture, like... doing jazz shows. Hey, buddy! Look at me.
Throwing toys.
I'm just sleeping.
Why won't you love me the way you love me over there?
Speaking of that night.
Oh, my God.
I went up on the creepy scale again, didn't I?
I'm just going to go like back in time and just do like an episode where it's just the evolution of you getting creepier. Like until like this culmination point.
I just imagine that. Burlew's apartment is Buffalo Bill's apartment. This is the same thing.
The funny thing is, you keep on talking about you never been in my apartment. You still didn't come into my apartment. So.
Never been in? You didn't invite me in.
Well, you guys were taking off. And
we were not taking off. We were sitting there.
You were sitting there? What are you
talking about? In the car. But either way, that Sunday, I would not have been even wanting to come.
No, I looked at your face. I had some drinks.
I got devastatingly drunk at the wedding on Saturday. Like hungover all day, puking kind of drunk the next day. Like, I haven't been like that in like 10 years. Lovely. It was really bad. It was puking behind dumpsters, pulling over on the side of the road.
Like a good Irishman.
Yeah, yeah. Well, But ironically, it was from whiskey. Because I don't drink whiskey that often. And at weddings, all the drinks kind of suck. So it's always like something and soda. I never drink soda. I never drink hard alcohol usually. And caught up to me.
They didn't have beer at the wedding.
They did, but it was all shitty beer.
Yeah, but I mean, when you're at a party and like everybody else is going for the hard stuff, you got to go with it,
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't the only one like that.
Yeah.
Probably the next day. But yes, getting older the hangovers are 30 times worse. It's almost, I don't know.
I can't turn it up before. I've never had a hangover. I mean, I've been sick. I had the night sweats from drinking too much, but...
Night sweats?
We talked about that.
We talked about my night sweats.
That's the name of my album, Night Sweats. I'm looking at you.
There's a band at Daniel Radcliffe in the Night Sweats.
Ooh.
They're good. They're actually really good. But, so... you two... both being quote unquote artists. no, but really, you know, totally different worlds. Okay, for the most part. How do you guys bounce ideas off each other? Is it hard to be? Obviously, I guess it's not that hard to be supportive of each other. But where does it like?
Is there any?
Where does it like I know Dom, you said you bought a camera and you really encourage her to do the videos and stuff. Where do you guys like mix like as far as you, both your art? Like, how do you help each other?
I will say that it's a lot easier for her to help me than for me to help her because I have no musical talent whatsoever. So she'll like pitch something to me and I'd be like, "That sounds good."
Yeah, no, that's Dom's answer for everything is that sounds good, but whatever.
But she's always good. But like if I'm trying to break a story or something, talking out with her and that type of stuff. She's generally better at things than I am. It's just not surprising to anyone.
Generally better at things.
He's so good at self-promotion.
She's pretty much better at all things.
Yeah. Clean like, dishes.
What about like even something like writing? Like, because it's two different total types of writing. Comedy, like relating it to comedy, it's like I can't write in front of... I have to like be in my own zone.
Yeah.
Now... Obviously, music takes a lot of noise and sound, whereas, you know, you don't have to make a sound to write, you know. How about that? Like, when writing's going on in a creative process, do you guys ever interrupt each other, interfere with each other?
I mean, as you know, I grew up in a very loud Italian household. Yes. So I'm the type of person who won't be sitting at my desk, and if it's too quiet, I'll put on the TV.
Yeah, I need noise, too.
Or, you know, if she's trying to get my attention and I'm in that zone writing, like, it'll... take something for me to even because sometimes I'll just be staring off and she won't even like realize that I'm not looking at her. So I have no issue.
Yeah, we saw that just a few minutes ago when you were falling asleep at the microphone.
But I find that like I know with my own writing, with critiques and things like that, like with notes, the worst thing somebody could say to me is like, what if you did this? Because it's like, you know what? I'm not asking you to write this for me. I'm just like
asking an opinion,
right? Ooh. So the best thing you can do is say what you like or ask a question. Because like say that you have a problem with something, but don't tell me like it should be this. Because then if enough people have a problem with something, then I know like okay, that's something I have to address. So sometimes it's also like it's the same thing with like brainstorming with a large group when you're writing.
Right.
So sometimes like she'll be stuck on something, and I'll just throw out something that I know is terrible, just because like having a reaction to that in the negative is helpful for you to get to the next step. So,
it's true. No, that's what he says when he has a terrible idea. And I was purposely throwing out the worst idea I could think of. Yeah, I swear.
I have no ego. About
that's
that.
What I do. That's what I do when I bomb.
Babe, let's get a time chair.
I did it.
I knew.
Great.
That
there's that line. Yeah.
I meant to bomb. Yes. I meant to. I didn't feel like doing well tonight.
No, but when we have a house, we plan on sort of integrating our passions.
A studio.
We're gonna have like a mini studio in our house where the lights are. Because I have a lot of video equipment, she has a lot of audio equipment, and we're just going to have one room instead of a bedroom. That's like the fun room that...
So you're going to have one room instead of a bedroom?
No, yeah, no bed.
Yeah. No bed.
Just
no
sleep
bed.
Sleep on the floor.
Yeah. We're going to sleep standing like artists do.
No,
we're going to film it all.
We anticipate having at least two bedrooms, you know?
So I'm pretty excited about it, though, because she can do YouTube videos, and then I can do whatever little sketches we want to do, and... You know, eventually when we have kids, it'll be, like, the room that, like, all... You know, can you imagine if at your house growing up, you could, like, your friends invite over, and, like, all of a sudden there's, like, a TV studio that you can just make shit in front of?
My TV studio was my dad's 700-pound camera.
Yeah.
And...
same with me.
I'll never forget a project for high school. It's some kind of Rocky, like, parody or something like that. And there was no editing. So, like, somehow we filmed, and I put the tape in, and, like... shot to a scene of a Rocky poster on the wall and then like shot back. I wish I still had it. It was the most atrocious thing ever. But yeah, I mean, the nice thing about that for you guys is one, you could be creative all the time, and two, there's always porn.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's really lucrative.
That's what money is. Yeah, no, I wish that... No, I don't wish anything. No.
Now, Zorn, is there any competitiveness? Like when one does something like really big, where it's like, damn, I got to get on the ball and do one myself.
I'm sure you guys don't feel that way either. I think it's the opposite. I think it's like creativity breeds creativity. So when you're surrounded by people doing positive things, it's just like, yeah, that's cool. And it inspires you to do. The only difference is like, she doesn't inspire me to do music because I'm not musical. But
know that.
Every once in a while, he sings in the car, though. It's adorable.
Aww.
It's terrible, but it's adorable.
Yes. Let's hear it right now.
Yeah. No. Give us a little love share.
He'll just totally forget that he's in a car with another person and just like.
But I only picture him singing like three tenors music or something. I love you.
No, but it's true. I think that if anything, him writing is like, oh shit, I should write. Which is really helpful because, as I said before, I'm not the most motivated person in the world. Hmm. So, yeah, I think he's a much more organized person. And so he'll be like, make a spreadsheet for your CD sales. Oh, right, I should do that. Yeah. So we just really help each other out, which is good.
You, singer-songwriter, do you, music first person or lyric first person?
For some reason, both? They both kind of happen in my head at the same time. Like, I'll have usually words to a melody.
And I was always music first, way first. And then it was almost worse because it gets so into the music. That's how this has to be and cram the lyrics into it. Like never let them breathe at all.
Yeah.
But
I use my phone is my recorder and just, the audio, whatever the hell it's called. There's probably 70, just snippets of nothing that could potentially become a song. So
that's what's great, with the phones and everything.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I have every set I've done in the last 6 months on my phone. It's like I listen to them once and I go, oh,
poor 18.
Just when you're feeling too good about yourself, you just load one of those.
It's it's actually the opposite. It's like, oh, I feel like that set went pretty well, and I listen to it in the car. I'm like, terrible. Like, why did I do that? Like the other day, I was talking about how I had this I think you heard it. I find myself when I'm not doing well, I have this nervous laugh. I'm like, in between jokes, this is so embarrassing. I'm like, but I think everyone's their worst critic. I think you have to be.
Well, no, totally. Some people are not their worst critic, and they're just generally put out terrible things.
That's true. Mm. That is true. I can think of many comics who think they are hilarious.
God's gift comedy. Way. Yeah.
If you come off a stage and say that you just killed, and we're playing the same VFW hall, and I don't know,
maybe he meant he murdered.
I destroyed. There's six people in the audience.
Yeah, but they all laughed at that one joke, man.
Here's the thing, regardless, whatever the word, quote unquote, artist, anybody on that spectrum, it's this weird mix into different levels of I'm insecure to a certain extent that I need approval, but I also think that I have something to impart to someone, which is those are two contrary things. And I think I wouldn't go through the types, but I also think certain types of artists are very insecure in certain ways and certain, but you need to, if you're really going to be an artist about it, you're going to be second guessing yourself constantly. Because if you don't have that part and it's just the ego part, you're not going to be doing it very long. Mm-hmm.
Or you make millions of dollars because you just are, self-promoting and
But that's about being a promoter. That's nothing to do with talent.
Yeah, the promoter I find
sometimes
hard too.
Sometimes
I find promoting anything hard. I even feel I don't even like to call myself a comic. It's almost I don't know. Yeah. Comedy is this thing all of a sudden you go to an open mic and you can call yourself a comic. I don't know. It's if I film something and put it on YouTube, am I a director now? I guess, maybe, in some way, If I have one song that I play, am I a musician? Yeah, I guess. But it's I don't know. I hate when people are like, yeah, you're a comic. And then after that, it's always I got this. You should totally put this in your act. You should totally. Even my dad is you can put this in your skits. Your acts, your skits you do at night.
Kind of just stubbed my toe. You should talk about it on stage.
It was crazy.
And the thing, everybody likes to be artist adjacent, right? They're like, oh, you should write a movie about this. Or you write a song about this. But it's especially what we were just talking about. We live in the day and age. Do it yourself. That's a great idea. Write it. I have lots of my own ideas. You said, anybody can go up to an open mic. So go do it. I don't understand why you have to bother me.
I've been having this weird thing this last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, where I've been dreaming and doing these awesome comedy steps in the dream. I'm like doing really well, and I'm in that half conscious sleep. I gotta remember this. And then I wake up, it's completely gone. I'm like, I need one of those dream journals or something. Just even two words to remember what the hell I was talking about. Because in my dreams, it seems like they're so completely different than anything I talk about.
Well, just have your girl have a pad and paper, and if you're talking your dreams, just tell her, write it down.
Yeah.
This is gold.
Unfortunately, if you were talking your dreams, it'd be all the victims' names. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Michelle.
Yeah, America's Most Wanted. Just listen in.
But I think it's time for song number two. Sure. What do you think? What do you think?
Sure. Yeah, I was thinking I would do the theme song from True Detective. Excellent. That's the one that's...
I gotta remember so that, attention. How that goes. It's the first season. Right?
True Detective. It was, yeah, the first season, which was, in my opinion...
The only season?
No. I mean, I didn't hate the second season.
It was okay.
But it was just so subpar. Dragged. Well, when you had the first one to compare it to, it's so hard to...
I even thought the first one dragged, and then all of a sudden it was just like, bam. Oh, yeah, I just woke so up much. Like by like the third episode.
The acting is just so fantastic. Yeah. Opinion. But anyway. All right. So yeah, this is Far From Any Road. From the dusty mesa, a looming shadow grows, hidden in the branches of the poison creoso. She twines her spines up slowly towards the boiling sun, and when I touched her skin, my fingers ran with blood. In the hushing dusk, under a swollen silver moon, I came walking with the wind to watch the cactus bloom. A strange hunger halted me. The looming shadows danced. I fell down through the thorny brush and felt a trembling hand. When the last light warms the rocks and the rattlesnakes unfold, mountain cats will come to drag away your bones and rise with me forever across the silent sand, and the stars will be your eyes and the wind will be my hand. Thank you.
That's awesome. See, the problem if I ever had to do any of that is I don't remember the lyrics to anything. Even like my favorite songs, I'm like.
She remembers lyrics to everything, like after she hears it once.
No, that's true. That's like a hidden talent of mine. Like ever since I was a little kid, my mom swears that I heard the song "I'm the Happiest Christmas Tree." Are you guys familiar with this classic?
I've heard of it.
Oh, I'm the happiest Christmas tree. Ho, ho, ho. Anyway, apparently, according to
she just
to
turned
my
into
mom,
Snow White there for a minute.
All of a sudden, the little rabbits come out of the corner and the mice, like, holding the pizza.
Birdland.
Oh, man. That's right. To my palm. No, but according to my mom, when I was like a little kid, I don't even know how old, really tiny, I heard that song once. And then the next time I heard it, I sang every single word along with it. So,
yeah, like I can't remember anything.
I can't remember my own lyrics, but I remember other people's.
So, let's play a game.
Oh, boy.
You guys each need a piece of paper, a couple pieces of paper and a pen.
Okay.
Now, first off, when is the wedding?
August 13th.
This Ooh. August 13th
it
coming
is,
up.
Yeah.
That's great. And
August is a great month because there's nothing else to compete with it. So, no one can be like, ah, yeah, I got a 4th of July barbecue or something like that.
Yeah. So he, first off, we touched on it, but Dom proposed to you at the end of his film, right? In the credits?
He did. It was pretty ridiculous.
Did you have any idea?
Not a friggin' clue. He's that good. I had no idea.
Now, did you have to make a whole separate cut and like, was that kind of annoying?
No, because it's digital cinema package, so right. I had to actually create a digital cinema package with just that one extra credit, and then it's just like a trailer setup where it's like they play one, and then it's a sequence that goes right into the next.
So I did you tell, like, did you guys have like family and friends there that night, or was it the opening night?
Yeah, it was the premiere. So it was like,
I think Terrence said he was there, right?
Yeah, Terrence was there. It was kind of like, hey, everybody come because it's the premiere, which is a good enough reason. And then we got to share it with, like, it was probably like 60 or 70 of our family and friends. So
his brother got a really shaky video of it, which is on YouTube. So if you look up filmmaker proposes to girlfriend, then you get. I think it's like the first one.
Was mom, dad there, everybody?
Yeah.
Did mom have like the Italian crying woman reaction, or?
I don't even remember.
No, she already knew about it. No, her reaction was, because here's the thing, right? His mom, very traditional Italian, very expensive taste, like likes everything bigger and better. I'm like, you know, this teeny tiny, like, don't buy me anything. But so her first thing that she said to me when she came with her congratulating me was, do you like the ring? It's too small. Oh, it's too small. It isn't. Do you want a bigger ring? Like, I told him to get a bigger one. Like,
I know a guy.
But that was her reaction to it. No, but it was very cute.
It was funny. I was like thinking of things to talk about. And today I looked up like reasons to not date an Italian, and like all the, but like one of them was like, it's bigger and better. It's like the mom thing. It was all the stereotypical things, but it's pretty. I couldn't find like a good list of reasons.
Yeah.
No, I am. Yeah, I'm half Italian, just the good half.
Get the papers.
But I've been in his family now for 11 years. So let's be honest. I love it all. So
it's just crazy. Like, how old's your sister now?
Oh my god.
When I went to your house for the first time when we played freshman soccer, she was like, what, two?
Well, I always wanted a sister, so this is like perfect. She's my sister.
You got Dom, you got Chris.
Chris and Dan, yeah.
Big softies.
They are my sisters.
We're going to play the newlywed game.
Oh, God.
We're going to learn a little bit about each other today. We're going to get close.
But we started dating 11 years ago.
Exactly.
It's going to be so hard. And
it might be easy.
I can't remember. So we
just picked these questions out of a hat. they're not leaning any one way. Let's play this. So you both have to put an answer down.
Mm-hmm.
Can't show each other. And we'll see what answer comes out. Are you guys
with the intention of matching, right?
Okay, so we're going to ask Kim the first question. Oh, no. Okay. Kim, between you and your significant other, who is the money spender and who is the money saver? So please put both of you put your answers down.
Okay.
And then we'll do a little reveal at the same time. Mm-hmm. Maybe in post-production I'll put a little...
This is an easy one to start with.
Don't worry.
Little applause, a little
applause, a little... little game show music. All right.
Boom, 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 boom.
And the reveal?
Dom is the spender, I'm the saver.
Spender, me, saver, her.
And I just wrote that's Dom, so romantic. Spender, me, saver, yeah.
I all right, that. One for one. One for one.
That's an easy
there you
one.
Go.
About us.
It was kind of set up by the last story with the mother and stuff.
Oh, true. Well.
All right, this question is towards Dom. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Dom, when Kim says, honey, they're playing our song. What song is playing?
The funny one or the real one?
Well, let's see what you have.
I'm going to write down.
If you're on the same page, you'll answer the same question.
I'm writing down both of them.
I'm writing down one song.
Oh, is it the
Dom
serious
wrote
one
down
the
music.
They wrote down music.
True Companion.
Wow, that's true.
Now, but wait a minute. But wait, can we? Yeah, True Companion. Yeah. But can we look
discussion.
At the other one?
The Rose.
The Rose.
Do you know who that's by?
The only thing I'm thinking is Seal.
Yeah,
no, that's Kiss by a Rose. No. This is Bette Midler, and it's one of Dom's favorite songs of all
it's
time.
It's not really, but every once in a while, her phone's always plugged in her car.
We gotta put that in post production.
Yeah, on loop.
And I'll just,
Bette Midler,
I'll just
Bette Midler, Dom's favorite song, Dom's favorite song.
I'll make the whole thing play out.
Oh, that song! Yeah.
It's just the most over the top cheesy song ever. It's hilarious.
So that's become his song. It's adorable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This one goes to Kim.
Mm-hmm.
Fill in the blank.
Oh boy.
Olive Garden is blank.
Olive Garden is blank.
Okay.
And you both have your answers.
Not real Italian food.
Awful.
Judge says.
I say.
Three for three.
I almost wrote not real food.
See, I was expecting a much more like violent answer.
I was
like
a very crap. Like.
Well, the thing is, I'm trying to match. It would have been more vile, but yeah.
Well,
specific.
I didn't know if like this was like a rant that frequently happens from you to her. Like, oh my god,
I've never been to Olive Garden. To be
never,
fair, but
no,
I never will.
You never once.
No.
Not no. once by accident. Not once by like some weird association.
It's like one of the few chains that like the food doesn't even look good on the commercials.
What are you talking about? They have all those. They have all those authentic Italian people on it.
When you're there, your family, you know.
Yeah, you see them tossing like dough. Yeah. So you know it's freshly made.
Not only
there.
Have I never been to the Olive Garden, but I don't know anyone who I would classify as Italian if they've been to the Olive Garden.
Harsh.
This is the reaction I wanted. Because he gets that little glimmer in his eye. That little thing of hate.
And the thing is, I realize I've never been there, so I have no... It's like somebody saying a movie sucks without seeing it. But just the idea of... And it's not really specific to the Olive Garden. The idea of a chain of Italian food, I don't think a good one of those could exist.
Now, you still... Are you like Sunday dinner still?
Yeah. Of course. Every Sunday we go to his mom's.
That's awesome. Like, when does it start? Like, what time does it start?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
Is that starts when you, on Saturday. That when you have to be there? Or
yeah.
What time does she start?
Oh, like, God. 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sometimes she's made something the night before and, like, has it heated up the next day. Yeah.
No.
She's dedicated.
Does the whole family come out still?
No.
Sometimes. Not usually, though. We live much closer.
Not good.
Well, the twins are just too lazy. They don't They're like, oh, I don't want to leave the house. So.
Okay. This comes to Dom.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Dom, if you were trapped on a deserted island with one woman besides Kim, who would it be?
Oh, God.
No, they could.
So Kim is there, and this is a third one?
You're without Kim, but you're with one other woman.
Okay. That's really tough.
If he's a true Italian, you know who he's going to put.
No. That's so
his
confusing.
Mom.
Oh. I got Brennan's mom.
Oh.
I don't want to think about this too long.
He's not going to have an answer. I have a joke answer, so we're fine.
That's fine.
He's put down six different names, by the way.
Is it Sharon?
One of the following.
Beth, no.
You don't have like a childhood crush? Or...
He won't even like talk about celebrity crushes. He's adorable.
I don't have celebrity crushes. That's,
isn't
what
that,
if I had them?
He's fantastic.
Really?
This man. He's not a real man.
I
want to
be on an island with Mike Myers.
Pretty much.
I think this is someone's name. But I'm just picking an attractive woman, really.
I wrote down Bette Midler.
Don't say love.
again.
I wrote down, I think that's her name, the blonde from Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, she's pretty.
Oh, yeah, she's pretty. I thought you put Margaret Thatcher there.
plus, she has that accent. What is she, Australian? No, New Zealand? I forget.
Mm.
But she's got a hot accent. Anyway, okay.
Okay. Mm. Kim?
Yeah?
What is your partner's greatest fear?
Easy.
Oh,
good.
Years.
These are much
11
easier
years
than
in
I
my
was
big
anticipating.
Commitment.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Well,
I thought you were going to ask like first date questions, which are impossible because it was 11 years
all right.
ago.
They both said spiders.
Spider Man. Not a fan of spiders, huh?
Oh man.
Why?
You hate them.
Like
by definition, irrational.
Like
it's a phobia.
Arachnophobia.
Like what level freak out are we talking? Like Spider King crawling to this by his foot right now.
Bed.
Wait. So like no, first of all, I am the official bug killer, it's true. Unless he has the Swiffer handy and I'm not around.
Swiffer is an excellent
I would expect a baseball bat.
No. Swiffer is easier because
you can get
it.
It's longer reach and you can get any angle.
Okay.
But anyway, so like
very scientific.
So matter of fact.
Well, I've thought about this extensively. I think someone should just market it as a
I have a whole script about this.
There's a commercial, some Guido Swiffer. It's longer, it's got better angle.
Better angle.
Kills everything.
But yeah, no, so like if I see a spider, I have to put on this like nonchalance and be like, I'm just gonna walk over here real quick.
Ooh.
You know, because otherwise, if he sees me see it, he'll, like, see it in my face, like, what? Is there a bug? Is there a spider? So I, like, one time there was actually a spider on the arm of the couch, like, crawling up. So I was like, shit, how do I do this without him freaking out? So it's.
Are we talking, like, run away? Like,
ah!
A girly scream?
The thing is, it's just when you're their first encounter. You know, once I see them, I know where they are, I can kill them if I have to. But the idea of, like, them dropping down on you when you're not aware.
I think arachnophobia ruined him when he was a child.
The movie?
Yeah, the movie.
That was a great movie.
I don't think it's from
John Goodman. You
know, oh, come on. That scene. I'm not even talking about it. I'm sorry.
That would say Spider-Man 3. That would.
Next one coming out, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Too many villains.
How many reboots of Spider-Man can they do? Okay.
I don't know.
He's going to get bit by a spider again.
There was an issue, I believe, if I recall correctly, with Spider-Man where, like, the intellectual property was going to lapse and they had to make a movie.
Yeah, that's what happened. Basically, Sony did not want to give it up, so they did the reboot, and the second one did so horribly, they just said, fine, take it, Marvel.
Don, this is one that you will surely know. Uh-oh. When was the last time you and your partner had a long, passionate kiss? You know,
like the, I don't know the date.
Well, you know, you could.
His first two digits are 19.
We were not dating in the
90s. Oh, darn.
That would make me
creepy.
Yeah.
Well, not really, because you would be real young too.
I don't know.
No. Reveal.
Reveal.
Today.
A month ago. All right.
I mean,
it
depends on how long
we're
talking
today.
Long
That's a shitty question.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're meant to be shitty.
Well, because it depends on how long. Yeah. I mean, like,
I'd be more curious how she said today, and you're like, no, that wasn't
that wasn't passionate. I'll show you
that
passion.
Shit. No.
But today,
every question
mark.
Is supposed
you
to get you
Italian
into the
passionate
dog.
Kiss.
I'll show you Italian.
You know, it's pretty bad, you know, when you got mistletoe hanging down over there, and you still don't know the last time.
We just never took it down. Up there for like a year.
I mean, you're just very festive,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Was it you that hates Christmas? No, you like Christmas, right?
Yeah.
But you're one of those like Halloween guys. Like,
I love Halloween.
We both. Yeah. That was one of the first things we bonded on. Horror.
Ooh.
You notice all the skulls around? That's me.
Oh, I see the complete set of Nightmare on Elm Street.
That
there.
Was me and the glove. You see the glove?
Ooh.
That's when things get weird.
The
put the glove on. Get the camera. Kim.
Yeah.
What was the worst purchase your partner ever made?
Oh, wait. Like for me or in general?
however you want to take that. Dom's writing already.
Oh, God.
Dom's writing already.
He wrote down a convenient truth.
A long time ago.
I know what he's going to say, so I'll say that.
You know what I'm going to say?
I think I do.
Let's find out. All right.
Yeah.
See,
I knew he was going to say that.
The gold necklace?
Yeah.
Well, do tell.
It's a beautiful necklace.
I think so.
When I was younger. Okay, listen.
That's an Italian. I think it looks good.
No, let me tell this story. Because
I was a little bit of a bitch when I was younger. Let's be
this
honest.
Was when we first started dating.
Yeah, like,
she was like,
up
probably
high
like,
school.
And maybe like 18 years old, you were, right?
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah.
So I buy her this little, it's like a ruby butterfly necklace. You like butterflies?
Mm hmm.
Surrounded in gold chain, right? But, and I was like pretty excited about it. Never bought anything like that for a girl.
So what guy?
For a guy
did you,
all the time.
One more guy.
You know,
we
so,
went back to his place. He opened up the trunk of his car. Looked nice.
Yeah, I remember when we played soccer. Like you play soccer? Here's a butterfly necklace.
I
like you.
I got earrings for the entire soccer. No, so I remember it distinctly because I'm sitting on her couch in her family room, and I give her this gift, and I could tell, like, she's not that into it, and her mom is there in the kitchen, right? And she's just like, yeah, it's nice, and she's just like, she doesn't like yellow gold, which I didn't know.
How could you know that?
So she tells me this. And I remember distinctly your mom coming over and like not she was like mad at you. She was just like
heart crushing.
You don't do that. Like a guy just gave you a necklace and you're telling him you don't like it because it's yellow gold.
I don't know. I'm not very good at hiding my emotions. Like you can see it on my face.
I was like really excited to give it to her.
Listen, when I was younger, I was a little
I could
bit
see
of a
the,
bitch.
The,
I don't know why he started dating
the
me.
The tears welling in your eyes.
It was rough.
Do you
but
still
the
have the necklace?
Yeah, of course I do. And it's actually really, really pretty. And it goes with things that are like brown and stuff, you know. Gold,
like shit.
Yellow gold. But how was he supposed to? But listen, no, to be fair, though, I also am not a big jewelry person. Like, I don't like expensive
right.
things.
She
so I was
proceeded to just explain to me all the reasons why this necklace was not a good
necklace. It wasn't that. I'm sure it was that bad. Yeah,
it was that
was.
Bad.
It probably was.
It was bad enough for your mom to come over and be like, who does that? He just bought you jewelry.
Yeah, I'm not good at hiding.
Did you know I slept over Kim's house once?
That's creepy.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
she didn't even know that.
In Scott's bed, is that?
No, not in Scott's bed. But me and your brother were going fishing in the morning, and the Devils were in the Stanley Cup, and everyone went to bed, and I'm sitting there like, I got to watch the game, and they won the Stanley Cup. I watched it alone in your living room.
Same place when I gave her the necklace and was.
I was wearing just the necklace.
I think at the wedding, after you put on the ring, you should take out the necklace and put it on her. No. Come on, babe.
Open the little box and have the necklace in it, not the ring.
No, but it is a really pretty necklace. When I was in like my teenage years, I was a bitch, let's be honest. So I don't know why he started dating me. He just, I don't know. Yeah, I'm much better now.
Debatable. No, I mean, just kidding. Dom. What's the most embarrassing place you ever farted? His straight face is just—it's just half I want to kill you, and half like really concentrating on the fart.
No, that one wasn't
that embarrassing.
The backstory
for this one is so good, though.
Brothers.
That's a couple.
That's a power couple.
Wait, can I tell this story now?
You can tell whatever you like.
So he put me on the spot now. So this is. Now here's the thing, right? I'm in my family growing up. Farts were just normal, and it was hilarious. Like, I think fart jokes are the funniest thing
ever.
Me too.
Farts are great.
I can't hear a fart without giggling my head off. Mm-hmm. Okay. He gets so embarrassed about farts. It's hilarious.
He actually has his head down right now.
He still tries to, like, hide them from me, which I find hilarious and adorable. But anyway, so we're at his brother's
house.
What's
his hiding technique? The muffle? The walk away?
Yeah. Did I leave that in the other room? Let me go check. No, don't come in here and help me.
I wouldn't know because he hides them from me so well.
Wow, like a fart ninja.
11 years of holding in farts. I think he's going to explode soon. But anyway.
That like explains his shitty temperament.
But anyway, so we're at his brother's house. We're staying over his brother. Was it like New Year's maybe? I forget what it was. It was some kind of thing we were staying over. And so Dom.
He looks so defeated.
In his brother's room.
The world knows.
But he's like kneeling down. For some reason, I don't remember what it was. So like he closed the door and like I'm out in the hall.
Oh my god!
Scott Brennan is currently on the floor, everyone. Scott Brennan got floored by Dom Bagnato's fart.
Dom farts were knocking over.
It's about did you hit your head?
No. I just fell completely backwards.
It's a sign that I shouldn't be telling the story because he's going to break up with me.
Either that or Dom just farted. Wow, I just went ass over tea kettle.
Oh, my God.
All right,
so he was bending over.
No, he was kneeling down. And so, like, I guess I, like, left the room because he was, I don't know, whatever. And from outside of the room. From outside of the room, all of a sudden, I hear the loudest fart I have ever heard in my life. Wait, his brother's like, I think I heard that from downstairs. We were making jokes about how he was, like, on his knees praying to exorcise the demon. I was laughing so hard, and he was mortified.
That's great.
That's a beautiful story.
Wait, you grew up with three brothers. How are farts like off limits?
Farts are not off limits.
Oh.
Farts in front of your girlfriend, I think, should be.
You just said that like you guys just your girlfriend.
Here's the thing, like, I don't know. Is it such a bad thing that I'm not trying to fart on her?
It's
for
definitely
like
not a bad thing. I appreciate it, but it's just hilarious that he tries to hide them so much.
One day it's gonna turn, and you're gonna be so sorry that you said that.
One day it's gonna be like, screw it, ba boom.
You know what, babe? It is a honeymoon, so here we go.
You know, I had two more questions, but I think
you gotta end up.
I think that reaction, me falling off a chair, Dom wanting to kill me further.
I'm sorry.
And Kim hilariously laughing.
pretty good.
Yeah. Let's get to the end here, guys. We're at an hour and 13. And Kim will have you take us out with a song at the end. But real quick, Dom, anything coming up? Anything con truth related? Anything to check for people to check out real quick?
Not really. Just if you climate change, mm-hmm. and especially if you've seen Al Gore's movie An Inconvenient Truth, check out A Convenient Truth at contruthmovie.com.
Yes.
And it's about an hour and a half long. Hopefully you'll laugh a little bit.
Yeah. And again, we do laugh about the promo code, but if you do pipe in the thing, you can get the thing $6.49, something like that. Do I get the price wrong every week? $6.49?
I think there's two different packages, one of which actually the deluxe package comes with two tracks that Kim recorded for the movie. So
I wrote a song for his movie.
It's like,
one of the packages comes to it's 50% off, but one of them comes to I think $6.49, yeah. And you get that, and one is even I think a little cheaper.
So if you want to support independent film, and you heard a little bit more on this podcast, and you can go to Kim printing more CDs and whatnot. So or maybe some thick padded fart protecting underwear for Dom.
I'm so sorry. He's gonna we're not even married, he's gonna divorce me.
Oh, somehow. Stop.
Scott, Dom just said he stopped listening to the podcast.
It's just like that Always Sunny episode, Who Pooped the Bed.
Oh my god, that's my favorite episode.
Frank just like, yeah, it was me.
It's funny.
It's
poop's funny.
Oh my god, that's funny. My favorite episode.
I'm Berlo. Let's go to you. Anything to promote?
I got a couple things coming up now. I'll be in Little Ferry for the 8-minute dating comedy show, Dave Durkin show. All the information's on my Facebook page, facebook.com/
Da Burls. Da Burls. And then Kim, finally, give us everything about the CD, wherever we can check you out, all that good stuff.
Yeah, definitely. So it's available on iTunes, CD Baby, it's a streaming website. And also, if you go to my website, which is just kimboygo.com, it's pretty easy. You can buy a physical copy there.
I don't think we even asked you the name of the CD during this whole...
I think I mentioned it. It's called Somebody Else.
Oh, Somebody Else.
It's an EP. It's just a 5-track, nothing big.
Yes, so go to iTunes, all that. It'll be up by the time this goes up, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So support her. Check that all out. And a couple podcast newsy kind of things here, so bear with me here. In a week, we'll be going out to Demented Brewery, which is our sponsor, and actually broadcasting from there. So that should be pretty cool. I guess show-wise, the only thing I'll promote is me and Berlu are both on a show in Westwood, the 27th. Okay, that is at Bat Barry's. It's a John Sweeney show, so we will be there. We're doing something new, branching out a little bit. On May 5th, Berlu Shenanigans is going to host their first comedy trivia night. It is basically... Now, I host Trivia Weekly, so I've combined with our good friends at Trivia Revolution, where I'm writing all the questions and all the theme, and they're going to be very ridiculous, very funny. So it's not going to be all smart guy trivia. It's going to be more kind of just a good time for people to come out to. So we're going to give it a shot on May 5th at Hoover's Tavern. And I know I'm put it on, it's in Morris Plains, not Randolph. I messed that up on Facebook there. And then the last thing, of course, is May 22nd is the 5th Verbal Shenanigans Comedy Show. You guys came out to one of them, but we're back again with Ken Kranz headlining, Kevin Israel featuring, and KP Burke in the guest hole.
Great lineup.
The guest hole. That sounds really, really atrocious. The guest spot.
Get down there!
They're guest all the guest holes.
That's how we treat our guests.
I dug this for you!
But I guess in the end here, life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back. And we're going to have Kim take you out of here with I'm watching you. You're watching me. We're watching each other. Adios.
I'm the co-host.
This is a song called Call to Arms. This is actually kind of cool because I wrote a poem in high school. Not a very good poem. But looking back on it, many years later, just a couple years ago, I realized that I really liked a verse of it, and I turned it into this song.
So, awesome.
Yep. Here you go. Look how far we've come. Got nowhere at all. We wear a different mask, but it doesn't change the past. We still take the fall. We can say we've learned, change something new. But with a pistol at our backs, we run or we attack. Then we see the truth that we're alive. We are alive.
We know that there's still time, and even though our time may fly, we gotta live while we're alive. So here's your call to arms. I wanna hear your battle cry. No matter what you choose, there's nothing left to lose. Why bother asking why? 'Cause we're alive. We are alive. We know that there's still time, and even though our time may fly, we gotta live while we're alive. We can say we've learned and change to something new. But with a pistol at our backs, we run or we attack, and then we see the truth. So here's your call to arms. I wanna hear your battle cry. No matter what you choose, there's nothing left to lose. Why bother asking why? 'Cause we're alive, we are alive. We know that there's still time, and even though our time may fly, oh, we gotta live while we're alive. Gotta live while we're alive. Live while we're alive, yeah. Gotta live while we're alive.
All right. Till next week. Adios. But Berlo, take us out for real now.
I'm looking at you. You're looking at me.
Turning to
We're looking at each other.